The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Creator and Savior and sower, make our hearts fertile ground for the seeds of your love. Make us sowers, your Lord. Help us to understand, discern, and obey so that we may plant the seeds of your gospel in the hearts of others. Give us the faith to grow. Give us the faith to flourish, even when sown in the midst of the thorns. Make our hearts fertile ground so that we may be the sowers of the seeds of your love. Amen. Morning. Our primary task as Christians is to spread God's love through God's gospel of the good news. It is this to which each of us is called, and is this which each of us must strive to do through both our words and our actions. It's often a thankless task, and one which may cause others to question you, and at times may place your safety in jeopardy. But it's a task which must be a product of our all-protecting faith. In spite of the uniformity and consistency of God's message, it's a missional ministry which has a variety of outcomes. This is a Christian duty that can at times be both frustrating and overwhelming. It is this for which this morning's lessons prepare us. In our epistle, Paul reminds us of our new life in Christ as he warns us of the tensions which exist between the God within us and the temptations from those forces outside of us. It's this concept which serves as the background and the foundation for our gospel lesson, and it's this same concept which is the anticipated outcome of our efforts as described in this gospel. It's the gospel lesson about which I would like to speak. This morning's gospel once again comes from Matthew. In this reading, we're provided with an example of how to spread the good news. Throughout his ministry, Jesus assumed the role of a teacher or a rabbi to those who followed him. This morning, Matthew allows us to gain a glimpse of Jesus the teacher as he attempts to share the good news of God's kingdom and provides an assessment of his own success in the spread of these teachings. This is the first of 8 parables that Jesus uses in this chapter. And through these, the use of parables, Jesus made use of things that were familiar to the people in a new and different way. He's going to use 7 more parables as teaching tools for spreading his gospel in this chapter. But this morning, we listen to the parable of the sower. And in this reading, Jesus has left the house, he's gone to the beach, and a crowd has followed him. So he gets into a boat and drifts out into the lake, and it's from here that he speaks to the crowd. And he recounts the story of a sower who, in planting his crops, sows seeds of on four types of soil. Some good, some on the path, some on rocky ground, and some among the thorns. He then discussed the manner in which seeds flourished or failed as a consequence of where they'd fallen, ending with the cryptic message, "Let anyone with ears listen." Farming in Jesus' day was quite different from farming today. Unlike modern-day farming, where we have a wide range of machinery and technological assistance which assist in providing for a bountiful harvest, in Jesus' day, it was hard, back-breaking work, where much was left to chance. When Jesus indicates that the yield of the seed sown in good soil could be 30, 60, or 100-fold, such a harvest would be considered astronomical, even with today's technological methods and approaches. But then again, we come back to the cryptic message, "Let anyone with ears listen." It's not a straightforward reading of the gospel, because we miss verses 10 through 17. Those are not included. And we don't really see that the first half of the parable is addressed to the people, and the second half, where he explains the parable, is with him talking to his disciples. In these verses, Jesus explains to his disciples the reasons for which he uses parables, and he recognizes that the majority of the followers are incapable of understanding his message. And through the use of parables, he causes the listeners to stretch and to open their hearts and their minds as they try to understand the true meaning of his fairly simple tale. He then goes on to explain the meaning of the parable to his disciples. Jesus is the sower, and he seeks to sow seeds in the hearts of his followers. It is this message of God's love which is actually being planted. And Jesus spoke to the manner in which seeds flourished and grew as a consequence of the hearts of those on whom they fell. How often do we attempt to plant seeds in others with equally divergent results, whether they're the seeds of faith or the seeds of trying to get kids to do what we want? As an educator, I sought to sow and nurture the seeds of both education and life experience. And despite using the same materials and information, there were usually quite different results. While many of the seeds fell in good soil, much also fell in fallow soil or was caught up in the thorns of apathy, life diversions, unpreparedness, and hopelessness. Many of us are parents and are all too familiar with sowing the seeds of our faith, our belief, our expectations in our children. And there can be very different results in each child, and often in the same child. For with one kid, what was once fertile suddenly becomes fallow, depending upon the nature of the materials. Far too often, the soil changes with little or no warning, and what was fertile for soil becomes fallow, or the seedling becomes enmeshed in thorns which can destroy them. All of us are planted in the good soil, I would say, because we're all here and we're all trying to do God's work. And we all rejoice in the seeds that fall into this fertile soil. But Jesus told his disciples that the seeds that fell among the thorns were choked and killed by the thorns. It is these seeds about which I would like to very briefly speak. For while the thorns can and will kill a number of seedlings, that's not always the case. How often in nature do we see that flower or tree that defies all odds and is able to grow and bloom even in the midst of desolation or the thorns? Growing amidst the thorns is difficult at a minimum, but often the struggle to grow in the midst of thorns can serve as a means of strengthening and enhancing one's faith. It's this nature of faith on which I'd like to finish up. The seeds that are planted in good, fertile soil typically flourish. But what was Jesus' journey on earth? It was not one of growing in fertile soil. His journey on earth was one of thriving and flourishing amidst the thorns. Much of Jesus' life consisted of his living out his faith in the midst of political unrest and opposition to both him and his followers. The two chapters that preceded this morning's reading focused on the opposition and the misunderstanding of Jesus' ministry. And later in this chapter, Jesus will be rejected by the people of Nazareth, his hometown, and he'll leave. But this does not weaken his faith or commitment. In spite of suspicion, opposition, and rejection, Jesus' faith never wavers, and he continues to advance his gospel of love. It is this sense of surviving, thriving, and flourishing in the midst of thorns that we need to focus on. How often do we encounter people of faith who have been able to undergo all of life's vicissitudes without losing their faith? The drug addict or the alcoholic who is able to overcome their dependency through their faith. The child who, despite having been sown amidst the seeds of despair and discontent, who uses these thorns of oppression as the impetus for surviving and thriving in spite of the odds. The thorns do not necessarily have to choke and kill the spirit of those who grow within their midst. Often, it is our experiences of thriving, striving to bloom in the midst of our thorn experiences that make our faith even stronger. History is rife with examples of a true faith which enabled people to withstand, overcome, and even triumph in the midst of the thorns. Our country was founded by persons who would not allow the thorns of religious oppression to quell the fires of their faith. For them, the thorns of oppression and rejection could not destroy their faith. The thorns of discontent and inequity must not be allowed to choke and kill the spirit of our faith. Within the history of our country, we see this same phenomenon in a number of instances. The civil rights movement of the 60s and 70s clearly identifies the faith of black people, my people, who would not allow the thorns of racial oppression, disenfranchisement, segregation, and social inequity to quell the fires of their faith. They recognized that the God in whom they believed wanted more for them. Based on their faith in a just and righteous God, they mounted a battle against and through the thorns. The seeds of their faith, which had been sown among the thorns, now would use this experience among the thorns as the basis for a faith-born and a faith-filled movement to end injustice and secure equality. In spite of the myriad forces which should have quashed their faith, they held steadfast to their belief in a God who wanted to melt the snows of racism. For them, the thorns would not choke or kill their faith. It is perseverance in the understanding of Christ's message that allows the miracle of our faith to withstand the thorns. Spreading the gospel of God's love is not an easy task, and it can be a high-risk career. Jesus has demonstrated that not everyone is willing to hear, accept, or understand God's message of love, but this should not deter us, any of us, from trying to spread Jesus' message. God has provided us with the gift of our faith, and as the disciples or sowers of faith, we are experiencing God working within us as we do the work of God. Jesus and his gospel of love have become the seeds, and we are the sowers trying to plant the seeds of Christ's love in the hearts of others. Jesus has shown us that physically hearing the words is not always enough, but he also has demonstrated that this is not a reason to give up. When we hear and understand the message, our hearts are inspired and our hearts are opened and we are inspired to act. May the liberating power of the Holy Spirit work through us as we spread the seeds of God's love to yield a harvest of people of God hearing, understanding, and obeying the word of God. Amen.